I haven't been in this part of the Met since I was a child. These are amazing.
Yes, they are.
But what are those? Are they totem poles?
They are ancestor poles known as Bis poles from the Azmat people. They honor those who have died and are now their ancestors.
Some of these must be 20 feet tall.
Each figure on the pole represents a specific individual. The poles also reminded the living that the dead must be revenged.
What do you mean, revenged?
In Azmat cosmology, death was always caused by an enemy, either directly in war or with malevolent magic. Each death created an imbalance that had to be corrected through the death of an enemy.
And how do they take their revenge?
Oh, by having a headhunt.
But they don't do that today.
Oh, now and then, but not often. There is some nostalgia for the good old days. Of course, sorcery is still an acceptable form of restoring balance.
Do you mean getting even?
Well, it's not just for payback. It's to put their universe back in order.
Dr. Pugh, what are these cone-shaped things?
They're full body masks.
It covers the whole body.
It does make them look a little like cone heads, except the cones extend to the ground.
What are they made out of?
It's mainly sago palms, fiber, wood, and decorated with beads. The dead are personified by a performer wearing this full-length body mask.
The beadwork is beautiful.
The Azmat believe that the ancestors, even though they're gone, still appreciate beauty. Each body mask is named for a specific individual.
Someone who has died?
That's right. There is quite a lovely ceremony. The performers who are inside these body masks emerge from the forests, and they are offered food and hospitality, and then the dead and the living join in a dance. The dance continues through the night. And in the morning, now properly fed and entertained, the dead depart for the realm of the ancestors.
Have you actually seen this?
Yes, once.
The Michael Rockefeller Memorial Collection.
Well, that was Nelson Rockefeller's son. He died in Irian Jaya.
From headhunters?
There's some question about that. Huh? Michael collected these amazing works of tribal art. You see here.
There is a magic about them.
They are. Magical.
I can feel it.
Can you now?
Well, can't you?
Tell me about the glasses you're wearing. Are they bionic?
They are.
Can you see without them?
Not very well.
I notice when you examine something like the beads on the body mask, you remove your glasses.
That's how I see the magic.
Huh. Do you really see it?
I see something. It extends out into the room. It just glows.
Interesting.
Do you see it?
No, but they are alive. Where is Mr. Sparks?
Excuse me. Yes?
Taylor?
Polly?
I made an appointment with Clifford, my fiancé, Clifford Barnett. It's for this afternoon at his office. Can you make it?
Yeah, sure. Will you be there?
Yes, of course.
What time?
Can you be there by 3? 99 Park Avenue. Hendricks and Barnett.
We'll be there.
Ah, there's Mr. Sparks.
Taylor, saw your name on a sculpture.
The ancestor figure. It's from my modest collection. Yeah. It's made of fiber, pig tusk, and cassowary quills. Do you like it?
I love it.
These carved figures that you see depict specific individuals and bears their name.
What was their purpose?
Well, these figures serve to commemorate the dead and remind the community that their deaths must be revenge.
I thought so.
Do you? Feel their energy.
Yeah, but it's not dark.
No. But it can be very powerful.
It still is.
Delbert, what is the Charlene Seymour Memorial Foundation?
She is the daughter of Selma Seymour. Now, this piece, it was donated to the Met in memory of her daughter. Zelma has one of the finest private collections of Azmat tribal art.
Sparky, we're meeting Polly at Hendricks and Barnett. She's made an appointment. Delbert, we appreciate your taking the time.
Miss Dixon, it was an honor. I wish I could see the world as you do.
I don't think you'd want to.
Please, call me anytime and give my regards to Orpheus and to Fritz. You really should have a chat with him sometime.
Ninety-nine Park Avenue, please.
Well, that was a crash course on headhunting.
And now we're headed to the other headhunters.
Are we going to tell them all about this?
I don't think so.
Dr. Dilbert Pugh?
Is that you, Sparky?
Yeah, I have a question for you.
Proceed.
When we were at the Met, there was a sculpture donated by the Charlene Seymour Memorial Foundation.
Charlene was the daughter of Zelma Seymour, who has a splendid collection of Asmat art. In fact, I'm at her loft in Tribeca right now. Zelma's having a little get-together. Why don't you come over? You and Miss Dixon, come on by.
Well, Taylor's away this evening.
Well, come along.
An Asmat war shield is always named after an ancestor. The spirit is believed to be present in the shield to make the owner fierce and invincible. Some shields are considered so powerful that it may control the owner.
The symbols carved into the shield are more than just a design.
Some symbols are believed to be so potent that just by seeing it, the enemy will flee in terror or be paralyzed by fear.
Are the spirits still within the shields?
You should ask Zelma. She lives among them. Let's see. Oh, there she is. Zelma! Woohoo! I think you'll find Zelma herself is quite a powerful spirit.
Whom have you brought along this time, Delbert?
Zelma, this is Mr. Sparky.
Sparky?
Sparks. Phineas Sparks.
Oh, sorry about that.
Miss Seymour, you have an amazing collection here.
You may call me Zelma, if I can call you Sparky.
Okay with me.
Do you like cannibal art, Sparky?
Well, I'm mainly interested in the tribal art of the Asmat.
Why the Asmat?
Their art is so alive, it's like they're still breathing.
I doubt they actually breathe. At least I've never heard them. Have you, Delbert?
No, but they are not silent. Zelma, would you mind showing Mr. Sparky your private collection? Of course, if you feel that we'd be imposing.
Delbert, be honest. You're the one who really wants to see it.
Well, it's true.
All right, a little later. Don't tell anyone. The party stays out here.
Yeah, but don't you think the ancestors might enjoy a party now and then?
There are times I feel that all they do is party.
My father told me you were born in East Berlin. Do you remember the war?
I remember an air raid siren sounded. My mother takes me by the hand and we run to the air raid shelter. On the way, I get separated from my mother. When I do arrive at the cellar, the door is locked. I have to go down 8 to 9 steps to get to the shelter door. When I get there, I crouch down and look up into the sky. A soldier comes running by, sees me, and shouts, "Open your mouth!" and runs away. He must have said it in such a way that I immediately responded and opened my mouth. A little while later, I look up. There's a sea of planes in the sky, and they throw what looks like Christmas tree lights out of the planes. I later was told those lights were thrown out of the planes to illuminate the ground so they can see what to bomb. And then they came, the bombs. That eerie screeching sound when they come down. Then a few seconds of absolute silence, and then comes the boom. The detonations were severe. I kept my mouth open and the concussions did not destroy my eardrums. The sound could get through. So I have to thank that unknown soldier that I can hear today.
My God.
I was perhaps a little over 3 when this happened. I believe it to be true because I remember it exactly this way.